Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When it comes to resentencing inmates who were sentenced to life without parole as juveniles, Michigan is still lagging behind just about every other state. Back in December, we brought you a series of stories about juvenile lifers in Michigan prisons. We dug into how Michigan prosecutors have responded to a pair of U.S. Supreme Court rulings that made it clear mandatory sentences of life without parole for juveniles are unconstitutional. Those rulings meant that the more than 360 juvenile lifers in Michigan at the time were eligible for resentencing and possibly a second chance. In short, the Supreme Court said that juveniles were capable of rehabilitation. And that's exactly what one of Michigan's juvenile lifers, John Hall, said when we spoke with him back in March after he was released after serving more than 50 years behind bars.
You can change your life. You can change it. Can't nobody else change it for you. But you can if you look down inside and stand on principles. If you stand on principles and got some kind of integrity, you can do it.
Let's get an update on this important question. Are the inmates in Michigan who were sentenced to life without parole when they were juveniles getting that second chance? With us now, Deborah LaBelle, director of the Juvenile Life Without Parole Initiative with the ACLU. She is an Ann Arbor-based attorney. Good to see you, Deb.
Good to see you again.
So let's recap where we were 8 months ago. The Supreme Court had made itself very clear about the kinds of sentences being unconstitutional, except in the rarest of cases. So then it was up to county prosecutors to start resentencing hearings for those 360-plus juvenile lifers, which, by the way, was the second highest number in the nation. How have things fared since December?
Well, I think I can give you the good, bad, and the ugly. The good is that 86 people have been resentenced to date. And the very good is that the majority of judges who have seen these youth, now grown people, have the vast majority have gotten the lowest possible sentence or time served. And of those, 34 have now seen the parole board. And what the Supreme Court intimated would happen is happening. Those who have seen the parole board, 32 of those the parole board has given a sentence of release. Many of them are out, others have sentence date releases. So the parole board, which the standard is, we need to be assured that you will not become a menace to society or a public safety problem. In everyone but two cases, the parole board has said, you're good to go. So what we know now is what the Supreme Court said, that these children are infinitely capable of rehabilitation, and they have been rehabilitated.
So that's the good. How about the bad and the ugly?
The bad is that the prosecutors in this state are blocking 236 youth from even getting to the courthouse doors. They're blocking them from having an opportunity to get resentenced, like the 86 I just talked about. And they're doing that by saying, we think that they should serve life without parole again.
And didn't the U.S. Supreme Court say, except in the rarest of cases?
Actually, they even clarified that and said, in the very rarest of cases. Justice Sotomayor got four cases from Arizona in which they reimposed life without parole on four youth, and she clarified in the case saying, no, we said the very rarest of youth who've committed a homicide who is incapable of rehabilitation. And the prosecutors, and in some prosecutors, in every person in their county have said, we're going to go after them all again for life without parole. Even youth who have not committed the homicide, even youth, the vast majority who are level twos, which is the lowest level you can get, youth who wardens have recommended for commutation, they have simply said in what I think some people saw in the New York Times, a mode of defiance. They are going to block these ones from going forward and seeing judges and seeing the parole board.
So what action has the Michigan ACLU decided to take legally about this?
So what's appalling to us is 5 years after the Supreme Court said this is a cruel and unusual punishment, people, well, and for both citizens and us, both as a moral and cost basis, there are 236 who have been sitting in prison cells paid for by us, who have no sentence now because prosecutors are saying, we want to wait and we want to do a life without possibility of parole sentence for them. The Michigan ACLU is cooperating in a mandamus action against a number of these prosecutors.
And saying, what is a mandamus action?
It's saying that you have to exercise some discretion. you have to look at each one individually, and you have to come and show some proofs as to why these people would be the very rarest. And in Oakland County, 48 of 49 can't be the rarest.
So, and is the state Supreme Court going to be hearing arguments on this fall?
It's still in the county level at this time. And we also have a suit in the federal Sixth Circuit Court saying that what's happening here is geographic justice. And what the court really needs to do is recognize that Michigan, and now I'm into the ugly, Michigan is one of the few states who is really resisting and has all along. They fought the Miller case, which was cruel and unusual punishment for children. They fought the Montgomery case, saying it shouldn't apply to people who are already serving. They have been fighting and losing every step of the way. So we have said the way they are implementing this, you have to abolish life without parole for children. 39 states now in this country have either abolished it or have not used it since Miller. Since the last time I talked to you, 15 states' legislatures have abolished life without parole for children.
One of the things that we talked about last December, Deb, and I want to revisit, is the judge versus jury question.
Right.
What is that and why is it so important?
So that question is before the Michigan Supreme Court still. And prosecutors are using that as a basis to say, well, we're going to put everybody in this pile that we think is life without parole, and now we can just wait. The oral arguments in that case are in October of this year. And the question is whether, because it's like the death penalty, whether juries should make this determination, should consider the youth and the circumstances of their life, or whether judges should. You know, I don't know what the Michigan Supreme Court will do with that, certainly, but I do have concerns about some of the judges who have been in a system in which they have issued life without parole sentences. And in Michigan, a 17-year-old is an adult, and I've read transcripts where judges reviewing these very cases have said, you know, if you were in front of me for an armed robbery, you'd be an adult and I wouldn't have to do this. I read a transcript from a judge who advocated that the victim's family, who actually was not opposed to a resentencing, write the Supreme Court justices who got it wrong. So there is some resistance of some judges who have served under a different system who simply can't get it right. And so I think that citizens could. I think understanding and seeing a child and seeing them grow up and to who they are, I think it would be good for all of us.
Deb, what is it about Michigan that has made this juvenile lifer issue just so intractable? I mean, why do we have so many as compared to other states, and why are we still lagging so far behind in compliance with the Supreme Court's rulings?
It's partly a race issue. We have a disproportionate amount of kids of color who've got this sentence. We had, since the mid-90s, this state really bought the concept of the super predator. They ate it up. Of course, we now know the very people who created that myth say, oops, that was a myth. Children aren't more violent. There are no such thing as super predators. There's just kids who make really awful decisions and in bad circumstances. So in the 90s, what we did, which was like Louisiana, we lowered the age in which kids automatically go into adult court for a whole range. We put kids as young as 13 in adult prison, saying if you got convicted of an adult offense, adult time, adult crime. We continued the process of 17-year-olds for criminal justice. We're one of the very few states who does this. You're automatically adult. No matter what you do, we can't treat you. If you're a junior in high school and you commit an offense, even if it's a misdemeanor, you can't be treated in the juvenile system, even though you're a kid in school. You have to go to the adult system because you're automatically an adult in Michigan. And we've perpetuated this, you know, for a long time.
So it's baked in.
It's baked in. And so it's been very hard to wrest out that concept. I think legislators think if you do any fact-based change in criminal justice, if you call out that this isn't working and this is punitive and we're hurting people, that they'll be accused of being soft on crime. And I think that the public has gone way beyond that now. And good people in law enforcement, good prosecutors here, are looking at things, are taking consideration and saying, listen, this isn't the Supreme Court's advice. This is the rule of law, and it makes sense. And these are our children that we want to bring back to our community. You know, I've said before, the one thing that's so painful is that we've failed a number of these children. We've failed them. We failed them when they were sexually abused in their homes. We failed them when they were struggling in bad schools. And then to turn around and simply punish them and take no responsibility is the worst kind of citizenship I can think of.
Deborah LaBelle directs the Juvenile Life Without Parole Initiative with the ACLU. Thank you so much for your time, Deb.
Thank you so much for your interest.